Why don't we go ahead and read item 159, please?
Authorize a subrecipient contract with the Urban League of Portland for $214,000 for services in support of fair housing and renter protection.
Director Callahan, why don't you go ahead and introduce the ordinance and your invited list of speakers?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Shannon Callahan, once again, of the Portland Housing Bureau. I'm joined this afternoon by Kim McCarty, our Renter Services Office Program Coordinator, and Danetta Monk of the Urban League. We will be followed by Yesenia Delgado of El Programa Hispano Catalica, Christina Dirks of Legal Aid Services, Ellen Lazo of the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. So with that, I'm going to kick off the presentation. So the Portland Housing Bureau has sponsored an annual fair housing audit testing since 2013. We've tested based on a variety of different protected classes, including race, national origin, familial status, and disability. During our latest testing between March of 2016 and February 2018, we tested specifically on race and national origin. Testing showed evidence that differing information about rental terms and conditions, rent prices, move-in specials, deposits, application fees, and screening criteria were given to testers in protected classes, meaning that testers who presented as white were treated more favorably than testers who were of color or of a different national origin. We also found in this testing, I think Alan Lazo can talk to you a little bit more about that, that agents continued to make statements as one would consider possible steering or discouragement of protected class testers from renting or even applying. These results, of course, just reinforce the lived experience that we continue to hear from members in our community that discrimination based on race and national origin persists. When reporting the findings on the recent audit testing, Fair Housing Council of Oregon also presented us with a comprehensive report and a series of recommendations, including increasing access to legal services, culturally sensitive services, and providing incentives for private attorneys to accept fair housing cases. The contract you have before you this afternoon is part of our response to the most recent audit testing and those recommendations. And with that, I'd like to introduce Kim McCarty of our Renter Services Office.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Kim McCarty of the Portland Housing Bureau. I'm the contract manager for this new subrecipient contract for fair housing enforcement and education with the Urban League of Portland. This contract for services tries a new approach of working with culturally specific provider to offer advocacy and support to renters who believe that they may be facing housing discrimination. Through a competitive solicitation process, the Urban League of Portland was selected. And one of the strengths of their proposal is that they have a partnership with El Programa Hispano Catalica, Legal Aid Services of Oregon, and the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. The goal is to reach currently underserved Black and Hispanic families. 55 households that have experienced housing discrimination will receive a suite of services, including fair housing enforcement, education and counseling, and rent assistance to ensure their long-term housing stability. Danetta Monk, here today from the Urban League of Portland, will further explain the Urban League's concept and for the program structure and offer insights into the fair housing issues that their clients experience.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Can you guys hear me good?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. I'm happy to be here today. Again, my name is Danetta. I'm from the Urban League of Portland, and I manage our outreach and housing programs. We're really excited to be in partnership with Legal Aid Services of Oregon, El Programa, and the Fair Housing Council to kick off our tenant protections collaborative. Elected officials in the community should support this collaborative because based on the fair housing audit results, Portlanders experience housing discrimination based on race and national origin more so than any other factors. This audit is a result and reason why PHB created a grant, and our collaborative is a direct response to the most common types of housing discrimination for Black and Latin families. It will allow more tenants to understand how to use the legal process to fight housing discrimination and signal the larger housing provider market that Portland is not a place that they can get away with unfair rental screening and treatment of residents. The collaborative will work with Black and Latinx participants who are seeking support related to housing discrimination. We will work with the community members who may not otherwise feel empowered to take legal action or seek advice, and we will host Know Your Rights trainings for community members to become more knowledgeable about renters' protections. The Urban League has operated housing programs and served the community for over 40 years, and with recent expansions to our housing and homelessness outreach programs, we hope to meet the needs of community members. With this collaborative, we will all, as a part of the collaborative, Legal Aid Services, Fair Housing Council, Urban League, and El Programa, host a biweekly meeting and staff each case. Each client who accesses this collaborative will have access to an attorney and legal representation if discrimination is founded and legal action is recommended. Clients will also have access to wraparound services at El Programa or Urban League of Portland. We and our partners are committed to end discrimination, displacement, and segregation of Black and Latinx communities. This investment, emphasizing the enforcement of laws that Urban League has been working towards for years, is a small but critical step towards the promise of fair housing for all Oregonians. We believe that this pilot will function as a catalyst to empower our own communities to realize their rights. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor. Commissioner Hardesty, then Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much for your presentation. Director Callahan, I believe, and I want to check my own knowledge, that for the whole 30 years I've lived here in Oregon, African Americans and Latinos have been discriminated against in trying to obtain housing in Portland. Am I wrong?
Not to my knowledge, Commissioner. I hope I did not mean to imply that in any way, but no, definitely, that there has been no downturn in discrimination.
And so, thank you for that. I thought, well, maybe it's just me. Maybe I just don't have my facts straight. And so we are in a housing crisis. It is really, really difficult for working people to find a house that they can afford to live in.
Right.
And so I appreciate this proposal to provide legal assistance, but I'm looking at it from the other shoe. If I've got kids and I need a place, right? What's the incentive for me as a community member to go jump through all the hoops, right, to actually hold this place accountable? Because, you know, I'm probably not going to live there anyway because I had to actually find a house while they weren't letting me move into that one.
You know, I would love to also ask you to ask that to the partners who are working directly in the field with folks who are facing discrimination every day. But I will tell you, without an ability to enforce rules on the books, you know, what's the point? I mean, I think we have fair housing rules. We've had them for over 50 years in this country. We've seen less resources actually go to enforcement. The only real process, I mean, there are some attorneys who will take these cases, but the only real process to enforce is really through a HUD or a BOLI administrative process, and primarily right now, HUD. And so when folks do have situations that they are willing to take the next step, and they do want to say, yes, I was discriminated against, and yes, I need recourse, we want to be able to provide an avenue for that. These cases also help establish precedent, frankly, and make it clear that these actions that people are seeing are actually violations of the Fair Housing Act that can warn and educate future landlords that those actions are not acceptable. So, you know, I think it is a broader a way of addressing one facet of the problem. And I know truly, yes, we have access issues and we need more affordable housing, but we need to make sure that people are actually having the opportunity to get in that housing. And let me just say, I'm sorry if my presentation implied that there was any difference. These testings are moment in time snapshots, and they're meant to help us guide with future education and other program activities. So thank you for the question, though.
Thank you. Mayor.
Commissioner Fish, then Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you.
Udaley, I'm sorry. Commissioner Fish, then Commissioner Udaley.
Okay.
It's a common mistake.
I have, I think, three main questions. Two are clarifications, and then the third is actually related to what Commissioner Hardesty mentioned, because it's a way of magnifying the impact of testing. In the briefing materials that I got for this, it says the Urban League is getting $214,000. It says that the three partners are getting $137,000, but says the program budget is $301,500. So, where am I misreading this?
I'm looking up the budget right now. And my presumption is that some of the additional money is coming from other sources.
Additional money beyond the $214,000?
Yes.
So that would be the likeliest answer, that there's another stream of funding.
I can speak to that in the fact that we're leveraging some of our rental assistance through our Home Forward and Joint Office funds to support clients with rent assistance and emergency sort of deposits, utility assistance. And this grant specifically is going to focus more on the staffing of the case manager who's going to work on the collaborative.
So okay, so there are other resources being brought in.
Yes.
Director Callahan, is that correct?
Yes, that's my understanding. I think as Danetta is saying, we want to make sure there's a full suite of services to folks who are facing housing discrimination. So it's just not the legal issues, but they're actually able to move folks into housing as well.
Absolutely.
My second question has to do with the amount that's actually going to the partners. The fair housing cases are expensive. Pursuing people's legal rights through the courts is expensive. What is your expectation of what that $137,000 of investment will mean in terms of the number of clients served?
I think, Commissioner, as we discussed, we are planning on serving, making sure that there are 55 households that are being served with navigation and support services, and then also 300 hours of direct representation to 30 clients, and 100 hours of technical assistance is what the contract calls for.
Okay.
So we're getting a very good legal deal from our partners.
I'll say. And then here's my third point, and I think I see Alan Lazo is here, and he would, I think, amplify this. Commissioner Hardesty raised the question of why would someone go through this process, and what is the ultimate goal? Well, one of the reasons why you go through this process with a competent lawyer is you want to make a very public case around someone's unlawful discrimination, and you hope through that there's a change in business practices that impact other people that don't have to go through a lengthy and burdensome legal proceeding. But what we have found is that for that to be truly effective, we need to coordinate our activities as the Fair Housing Council of Oregon does, with the U.S. Attorney's Office, with the Department of Labor, and with others. So if we really want to bring the hammer down, there are other partners and tools. To what extent does this anticipate that those kinds of robust partnerships with federal law enforcement will be pursued?
You know, Commissioner, there is obviously a collaboration with all of those partners. And I think Alan and the team at Fair Housing Council can tell you a little bit more about recent experiences. I think, they have shared with us a history of some of their cases and cases that they believe should have a determination made, but are not clear-cut cases and folks are not willing to advance.
Good.
So this will augment the already available services that they have at their disposal.
But I just want to be clear. For some people, this will mean that they get an offer of tenancy. That's the ultimate outcome. They will get to live in the building that they were unlawfully denied access to. For others, the great weight of the legal system plus the federal government coming down on business practices that we reject as a community will change the culture, will change the way that they implement their business practices. And I want to give Alan, when he comes up, a chance to talk about that, because in some ways that's the bigger club.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly.
I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for being here and to thank Urban League for their participation in and support of my office's work on our upcoming fair access in renting proposals, which aim to decrease barriers to housing as well as eliminate or substantially reduce opportunities for housing discrimination. And so I think our work goes hand in hand, and
yes.
I just appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you. Public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have. Oh, we've got another
panel. I'm sorry, we have another panel. I apologize. Come on up. If you could just state your name for the record, go ahead and give your testimony. Thank you for being here again, Alan. Appreciate it.
Buenas tardes, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I just wanted to do a quick follow-up to the work that has already been discussed. I am the Housing Services Program Manager with the Programa Hispano, and the Programa Hispano just is really committed and thankful that the city is taking on this work to try and mitigate some of the issues that have come about due to housing discrimination. This is extremely, extremely important and very delicate work for us, because for years now we have heard stories of participants that are coming into our office sharing their stories around housing discrimination. And what we do know is that the lack of a regulatory body to be able to enforce these fair housing rules is only the issues that that presents only is exacerbated when talking about communities of color. So like I said, for years now we have heard these really egregious stories. In one instance particularly, a mother who really needed a place to stay had to sit through microaggressions and racist comments from a landlord just because she needed the apartment, and that was the only apartment that was quote-unquote affordable for her. But those were the circumstances that she had to deal with in order to stay housed. And this is even a more particular situation, given that we are a culturally specific agency for the Latinx community. And as you all might know, due to the current political environment that has, with issues like public charge, that has already made it very difficult for the Latinx community to trust government and law enforcement individuals. This would make them Latinx individuals who are experiencing this housing discriminations even more hesitant to be willing to come out and speak against it. So I think that this is why it's crucial that El Programa Hispano, a Latinx culturally specific agency that is in the community for the community, and due to all the trust that we've built, that we have positioned ourselves really, really well to be the navigators who kind of screen participants, provide trauma-informed and culturally specific case management, wraparound services for these participants who then can seek mitigation with the attorneys that we're working with. So we just thank you for your support. We are very committed to this work because we deeply believe that it advances racial equity and housing justice in all of our communities.
Thank you for working with us. We appreciate it very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for having us here today. I'm glad to see you here, Commissioner Udaly, and I hope that's a positive sign for you and your family that you're here today.
You.
My name is Alan Lazo. I'm the Executive Director at the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. I've heard your questions, and I'll address those at the end of our presentations, but I spent time writing this, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. So thank you also to Director Callahan and all of the staff at the Housing Bureau for their informed response to support these communities that have been impacted and targeted by housing discrimination. And thank you especially to our partners at the Urban League and El Programa Hispano for the trusted collaboration that we are building together. This catalyst to new relationships that will help ensure equitable and just treatment in this very difficult housing market that you all have been addressing all afternoon, that extends even more so to those members of our community and our communities of color. Through this project, we, the Fair Housing Council of Oregon, will be training advocates in these organizations to recognize and bring forward fair housing violations that have been impacting their community members, as you've heard from both Yesenia and Donetta. We'll also be providing direct Know Your Rights trainings to these community members and also working, importantly, to connect those community members with the private civil rights attorneys that we work with to move fair housing cases forward. We as an organization are proud to be here at this table with this specific set of community organizations. As you know, I was here just a couple of weeks ago talking about the work that we do with other community organizations with Portland United Against Hate Coalition. And for our organization, this Fair Housing Legal Services Project represents yet another step in our continuing efforts to best serve communities that, again, have been targeted and impacted, especially in that housing market context. You've heard me talk previously about the history of racial discrimination, segregation, and displacement here and in many places. So you know that we have a history in this institution of housing that we should not be particularly proud of, a history that has targeted and impacted communities of color and many others. So we need to be intentional now about rebuilding that trust of these communities in what historically have been institutions that have not served them well. These intentions move us closer to creating that truly inclusive community and opening access to opportunities for all, those values that I know we all share so dearly as a city and as a community. We also know that there are many other targeted and impacted communities that aren't here at this table today. We know, for example, that today members of our LGBT community are under attack from hate groups in our city. We want communities to know that these same protections in housing extend to members of all protected classes, not just those that are with us here today. We're looking forward to the successes of this project with these specific partners at this table. We also are really looking forward beyond this initial pilot project to creating intentional collaborations that serve all of the targeted and impacted communities of protected classes in our city. So thank you all for the commitments that you continue to make to end housing discrimination and ensuring equal access to housing in our city and in our community. So I'm happy to answer those questions that you had earlier or about this project and about the work that we're doing together. Maybe Christina, do you want to go first before we discuss some of the other pieces?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Christina Dirks. I'm an attorney with Legal Aid, and I'm also thrilled to be part of this collaboration with the Urban League, El Programa, and Fair Housing Council. The results of the audit testing showed how far reaching discrimination is in our rental market for Black and Latinx voter renters. The results didn't come as a surprise to us, as we know racism in the rental market, both overt and subtle, is pervasive. We also know that the housing crisis is not just one of affordability, but of racialized gentrification. And as a result of this, as the market gets tighter, housing providers are pushing out communities of color for the benefit of middle-class white renters through discriminatory tactics. And despite the audit results, we also know that individuals are not coming forward to assert their rights, as we might expect. There's both obviously institutional and structural reasons for that, and some of the reasons that Commissioner Hardesty mentioned. We are hoping that this project will help to address some of that disconnect. In general, the unmet need for civil legal services related to rental housing is vast. Housing legal assistance is now the most requested civil legal need from our office in Portland, making up about 40% of the callers. Our office receives thousands of calls a year seeking legal assistance with housing matters, and we're currently unable to meet the vast need for our services. Through this collaboration and funding from the city, we will be able to extend the temporary employment of one of our housing attorneys who was working on the eviction pilot project that was also through Portland Housing Bureau. Providing redress for victims of housing discrimination has always been a high priority work for our office. However, we recognize the barriers that both Black and Latinx individuals face when attempting to access both the legal system generally and legal aid specifically. The need for culturally specific trauma-informed skills is critical. Urban League and El Programa are uniquely positioned to shape the priorities and the contours of this collaboration based on their relationships with the community members most impacted by discriminatory housing practices. And we are eager to listen to these partners on how to best serve clients in a manner that removes as many barriers as possible for people of color to enforce their rights and seek redress. We anticipate that through this collaboration, Legal Aid will provide community education, workshops, technical assistance as requested by our partners, receive guided referrals, and provide legal representation in a range of cases from direct advocacy, negotiated settlements, to larger disparate impact litigation that could result in policy changes for large-scale housing providers. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Colleagues, any questions for this panel?
Alan, just would you care to address the question of partnering with the federal government on enforcement?
Sure. I'll start there. And I think you're right, Commissioner Fish. There are sort of a natural set of partners that we have in the fair housing legal enforcement world, including the U.S. Department of Justice, the State Attorneys General, Boley, and other folks. But there are specifics around those partnerships that we have to achieve to some degree, right? We're not going to move anything through the U.S. Attorney's Office unless it's pattern and practice. But we also aren't going to find pattern and practice cases if we don't have good community partners. So there's two sides to this, both that answer. Let me jump to another piece of that answer, though. If you're not aware, Boley, the Bureau of Labor and Industries, who is charged with enforcing civil rights in the state of Oregon, is no longer substantially equivalent with regard to HUD and fair housing. And so that is not a pathway that we have any longer for enforcement. That is an issue that's been ongoing since 2015 now and hasn't been resolved. So it's an issue that we need to potentially look at. We've talked with the city about it. So our only recourse with regard to that enforcement, with the complaints that move forward, is at the federal level with HUD. So hopefully that answers some of those questions.
Thank you.
And then, you know, the other piece of that in the same way is, you know, echo what you said, Commissioner, this work, and I think I'm glad that we are here publicly to be talking about this project, because there are two pieces of it. One, I think we should send a public signal that this work is happening, that if there are bad actors out there, that we intend to work with these community groups who are experiencing their impacts to root that out. But it also should send a signal to these communities that this is a different way of doing business along this work around housing discrimination. And so, again, I think it's the great credit of Director Callahan and the Housing Bureau to address the recommendations that we brought forward out of the testing.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. We appreciate it very much. Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
One person, Shedrick Wilkins.
Very good. Come on up. Good afternoon.
I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I think housing depends on income and salary and on discrimination. How many women governors have we had? Two? How many African-American mayors have we had? None? Right? I personally like the fact that we have a African-American woman police chief. How many of those have we ever had? We've had one. We had one woman police chief called Penny Harrington, who lasted a year and a half. And she had some issues with her husband or something. I don't know. I got out of the Army. Bud Clark. I like Bud. I used to drink beer with him over in his tavern. When he was mayor, it was fun to be around, but he put her in there, and under pressure for some reason, she was held accountable for her husband, so she lasted a year and a half. I can tell you now that police chief...
Shedrick, we've got a lot of people waiting.
All right, police chief Daniel Outlaw has lasted a year and a half, and I hope she's still police chief. And if you ever can her because she's a woman or she's not macho, I'm going to come here and tell you keep her there. You come up with some intelligent reason to get rid of her. That's upset. And like I say, housing depends on income. And I don't want to see her going back to San Francisco and Oakland because we're a bunch of racist or sexist people here.
Upset.
All right. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
I'm just speechless, so I'll say aye.
Wheeler.
I've got a few brief closing remarks I'd like to make. The Fair Housing Act serves everyone. but the law was created in response to the profound injustice of discrimination faced by people of color seeking housing, and specifically racial segregation experienced by the black community. Today, demographic housing data shows racial segregation and disparate access to housing is still present. But the recent Fair Housing Audit Report suggests complaint and audit testing data does not fully explain the demographic patterns of racial segregation and its harmful impacts. The Fair Housing Enforcement tools are typically successful when acts of discrimination are blatant and intentional. But if racial discrimination is subtle, unintended, or intentionally hidden, the current tools just aren't having the intended impact. Because of the subtle forms of housing discrimination that are difficult to prosecute, we know many people of color just aren't reporting. They're not seeking help, and they're not even aware at times that they've experienced racial discrimination. This contract for service is designed to overcome the historic mistrust of the legal system, support the people who are experiencing real harm, and find better ways to enforce current fair housing law. I want to thank our partners who testified today for their leadership on this matter. I want to thank Shannon and the Housing Bureau for their exceptional work on this. I think this is a great new model, and I'm really proud that we're doing this here in Portland, Oregon. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Time certain items.